Okay, we're back. Thanks everyone for that quick break to refresh ourselves. So we've just done the Minister's Roadmap, and the next item starts on page 68. It's the Container Refund Scheme and Waste to Landfill Levy. There's a recommendation on page 74. Anyone like to move the recommended motion? Councillor Midgley. Seconded by Councillor Reet. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. It's great to move this motion, and it's fantastic that we've finally had some movement on this area. So never thought I'd say, but thank the current government for definitely looking at this and putting this forward, because it is a very important area. And as we know as councillors, we need to decrease our waste to landfill. So it's great they're putting in strategies in place to make this happen. As we know, there's massive environmental implications if we don't do something in this area. And I think hopefully it will encourage local councils to all look at their net emission targets, for Tasmania to have a statewide FOGO system. And also it's really exciting about what innovative practices can happen in regards to what to do with waste, as we have seen for the plastics into street furniture and glass into road bases. But also I'd like to have seen a bit more kind of movement and discussion around the waste avoidance area. That would have been good as well, because I think that's really important. When we consider waste, we need to look at how we can actually refuse, and refuse needs to be a number one high on our priority. So I really hope when they set their directions and funding in the future, they can do some educated target in this area. I have had a chat with wonderful Councillor Bill Harvey, who I see as a fantastic, passionate waste campaigner in this, just to check if, you know, our council recommendation is on par with where the City of Hobart is looking, and he said, you know, that's our recommendations pretty much in regards to what they're looking at. And I think, Mayor, that we had a discussion that you met with the manager of that area at council last week, and maybe Mr. Reeve, I can't remember who else you went with. Sorry, but you all had a discussion in regards to this area, and perhaps that was some impetus in regards to what the recommendations are put forward.
No, I think Mr. Reeve's been dealing with this one. We were talking about FOGO, the meeting I was at. Mr. Reeve's definitely the expert on this. Would you like to ask Mr. Reeve a question?
Mr. Reeve, have you consulted with other councils in regards to the recommendations as to what you put forward in this agenda?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. So there's a number of different councils that have been involved with this there. So there's a Southern Regional Group there, which involves all the Southern councils there, that's discussed this matter there. LGAT's obviously discussed it in a wider frame across the whole state. And in terms of any submission that goes in, that can come in by an individual council or by the Southern Regional Waste Group or by LGAT, or all three if we wish. So certainly has been widely discussed there. As mentioned, most of the concerns that have been raised are similar to what's actually mentioned in here, but there is general support from councils on this.
Wonderful. And ongoing, just to note for our ratepayers, that we will, with the board that will be set up to look at the waste levy, we will have a LGAT representative. I understand Dion Lester mentioned at the recent LGAT conference that local government will have a stakeholder on that board, so hopefully there will be a lot of direct contact and conversation with councillors in regards to that. And I think the conclusion in the report has some really great statements, and I'll just quickly read a couple of out. The introduction of a waste levy is generally supported by local government and is used widely across Australia. So is that correct? So is Tasmania, what sort of number would we be in regards to introducing the waste levy across Australia?
Ms. Reeve.
An example, like how many other states perhaps have done it?
Yeah, three. We're probably one of the last. So it's been in place in many of the other states for quite a period of time there, and some states have brought it in, taken it out and brought it back in again, and they're at different varying levels that they've set their levy at as well at the same time there. But I guess there's a lot of events, world events, that have actually happened, and Australia's positioned themselves in such a way there that this is the reason why you're starting to see this type of movement actually happen in both the waste levy and the container refund scheme.
Fantastic. And just, the waste levy will be passed on to residents who are disposing of waste either through curbside collections or direct on one of the waste transfer stations. The funding from the levy will be available to support initiatives associated with waste minimisation, reuse, recycling and litter control, which I discussed earlier. And again, I'd love to see some more strengthening at that area in regards to actually refuse. I think that's really important moving forward. And just in regards to the container refund scheme, it's not the report stated it's not clear yet exactly how the container refund scheme will work. However, it will provide a benefit in encouraging reuse of materials. It is likely that the introduction of the container refund scheme will reduce materials collected in the curbside collections and direct through the recycling centre at Beretta. I guess in regards to the container refund scheme, there's still a bit of conversation in regards to if non-government organisations or charities can be involved in the collection of the cans and things, or they're not sure which kind of way. I think there's big kind of multinational companies pushing some other areas. So I guess we haven't really reached a decision. I'm wondering, Mr. Reeve, in exactly what refund scheme we'll consider at this stage.
Mr. Reeve.
So, as mentioned in the report, it'll be similar to the one they have in New South Wales there, where they have administrator of the scheme there, separate from the, if you like, the contractor who then goes and does all the collection and puts the collection spots in place. I guess when I mentioned there's quite a few details still to be worked out there, that'll be like where these collection points are going to be, you know, who might be involved in that, you know, what type of collections they'll allow for, you know, what type of materials that should be collected through there. So all those things are yet to come out, but we expect that they will come out in due course.
Thank you. And just to clarify, will yourself or other local government representatives have be able to have a say in regards to that?
Mr. Reid.
Through you, Mayor, I envisage there will be a consultation process similar to what they're doing with the bill for the waste levy, and it's certainly the discussions I've had at an officer level there, they are very open to actually be working with local government in particular and gathering their viewpoints there to inform where they are going to go with this matter.
Thank you. And just a further question in regards to KWS, who we know oversee these matters in our area. I'm wondering at all if we can have an understanding of their views and perhaps if they're going to relook at you know, their strategic outlook and framework, and also on that point, will we be considering a review of our waste strategy a bit earlier because of this, you know, possible November levy?
Mr. Reid.
Through you, Mayor. Certainly, KWS is well versed in this as well at the same time there, and have been involved in some of the discussions as well, and that's been passed on to them. So they, I guess, hold similar viewpoints to what the councils would actually hold as well at the same time, and are supportive of the levy. In terms of the waste management strategy, that was 2017. Generally, we put a review date of about a 5 to 10 year, depending on what the strategy happens to be. There's obviously quite a few things that are actually happening in the waste arena at the moment there, so I suspect that will probably drive an earlier review of that particular waste management strategy. So, yes.
Thank you. As said earlier, I think it's a really positive and exciting and much-needed levy and container deposit scheme to look forward to. I look forward to hearing what other councillors have to say on the matter.
Councillor Reid and then Fox.
Thank you. I'll try and be brief because I know we've still got quite a bit of business before us, but I did want to speak about this briefly because for a short period of time of about 2 years, I did hold the position of Environment Minister, and I did try to get both of these initiatives through unsuccessfully at the time. Back then, there were only a couple of other states that had waste levies, and there was certainly no appetite here to do so. And the thing that never made sense to me is why we didn't have a container refund scheme. So I'm really pleased to see that. I think at the time it was too early because there were issues about the capacity to actually recycle the materials, and once they were collected, where were they going to go, and that the industry at that stage in terms of recycling wasn't as mature. So I'm really pleased to see this progress. I have an interesting question that I think some people around this table might be interested in, and because I can't work out the answer to it. You can have glass soft drinks and beer bottles will be eligible for refund, but not glass wine bottles. Can you enlighten us as to, because I know what I'd be supplying more of.
Just to breathe.
Through you, Mayor. I guess this is just an example of how other jurisdictions have actually treated this matter. Bearing in mind, I guess the main focus is actually about litter. So typically what people might be using out in a public space, if you like. So that's why you might see things like the plain label milk containers, which are more used domestically inside the house type of thing as compared, and you don't see that as a major littering problem, whereas some of the other ones actually are, and that's one of the drivers for it. As to what they actually finally do put in place, that's going to depend on the detail, I guess. So this is just a bit of an example of what they may or may not take.
So do any other jurisdictions include wine bottles or any of those ones that are listed there as not eligible?
Through me, look, I wouldn't be sure on the detail with that, but I do know that, you know, the main criteria they're actually applying for it is to actually try and prevent littering that we might actually see out in the environment.
Thank you. Look, this is a great step forward, and whilst there's still some work to be done on the model, it'll be interesting to see where they land on that, because I know that there are a lot of proponents out there for charities to be involved to support their organisations in the collection, and in other states that, like South Australia, that has worked really successfully, but that's probably not something that we can influence. As Councillor Midgley said, I'd really like to see that we don't miss the opportunity to relook at our waste strategy. The education component of our community, we know, is going to be the biggest contributor to driving down further waste going to landfill. So if the funding is directed appropriately, we should be able to hopefully educate our community more and reduce that. So I'm happy with the recommendation here, and I look forward to seeing this progressing.
Councillor Fox, and then Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm a bit nervous about both these programs, and particularly the waste, the container levy. I'm just concerned that local government has actually borne the cost of containing or of collecting containers for a long time now, and the vagueness of this particular section makes me feel as though council's once again going to be responsible for collecting these containers without really knowing who's going to pay, what's going to happen to them. It could well be that we have to pay for the collection points, for the transport, and the benefits may well outweigh the disadvantages, but I just don't have enough information here to feel confident that we should be supporting it. I think the report is quite clear that we don't have much information, so I think we're jumping the gun. I think we should wait and see exactly what's going to happen with this, and whether the industry that has been providing all this waste is going to reduce the amount that they're providing if they get their containers back, and if they're going to pay towards the collection. I don't think it's up to us to make this decision. I think it's the industry that should be pulling their weight, and we should be looking at them without saying, yes, we'll do it, and getting that tightly sewn up before we say, yes, we'll do it. Also, the waste levy, when I attended the waste board quite regularly, there wasn't much appetite for having a waste levy, and they were worried that the government would put a waste levy on local government. I can see that there are benefits to having a waste levy, though, if it is cycled back into the community, into education and things like that, which are recommended in this report. But there's no guaranteeing that will happen. And without that guarantee, I'm not sure if we should be supporting either of these motions. Maybe I'm just being sceptical, but I would like to have some more reassurances before we go down the path of approval. Mr. Reeve might like to comment.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. So certainly on the container refund scheme there, as much as I said there's some detail to be worked out there, the model they're going to apply has sort of been already sorted out there, which just involves, as I said, a scheme coordinator there and a contractor there that delivers that. So council's less involved in that one. The only involvement council may have with that is that somewhere like Beretta, for example, may be one of where the collection points actually are, but it'll still be operated by an independent contractor. And then the other effect that you might actually have with that overall would that some of the types of containers that are actually going through that scheme won't then go through garbage or recycling or come into Beretta there. So it's actually an advantage for council on that side because it'll effectively reduce some of our operating costs associated with that. So that the actual model itself and how that actually might work, that bit's relatively clear. It's just some of the details about where some of these collection sites might be and what might be collected in these particular sites as well at the same time, which is still, I guess, a little bit unclear at this stage there, but is obviously going to be sorted out and consulted with various groups as we go through. As for the waste levy, look, I'd be fairly confident in saying that if I looked for all the councils throughout Tasmania there would be support for a waste levy. Certainly it gives the opportunity to put plenty of money in the bank, so to speak, there to actually deal with some fairly large statewide and regional projects as well at the same time. So these aren't just about maybe some of your typical waste management activities, but it could be to do with actually industry, where we're actually providing an avenue for industry there to actually reuse materials there. It could be to do with, quite comprehensive education programs that we might want to run. So it would allow us to move from, I guess, playing around the edges and actually look at trying to get some real movement in that space there. And I think that's why you'll find that most councils do support that. It actually follows with most councils who do have a waste management strategy there. It sort of dovetails in that with that quite nicely. So that's the general viewpoint that we're actually getting from the wider local government community.
Councillor Cordover and then Councillor Watts.
Thanks, Mayor. I'll start with a couple of questions. Is there a minimum amount of waste that we contractually have to send to Copping?
Mr. Reeve. Through you, Mayor. No, we don't have any minimal amount.
Thanks. And my next question is about item 4.14, so page 69, 4.14, it says, by state, the reinvestment level was estimated at nearly 20% New South Wales, 25% WA, 72% in Victoria, 73% in South Australia and 77% in Queensland. My question is, why was it so low in New South Wales and WA? New South Wales and WA, yes.
Through you, Mayor. I guess that would be a question to ask those relative governments there as to why they've actually chosen to only put part of the levy back into waste initiatives there. I know certainly from an officer level here, the viewpoint is not council officer, but from an officer at state government level there, the viewpoint is to try and encourage state government to put all of it back into waste initiatives there, and that's quite heartening to see that they have that same viewpoint there. Of course, none of the other states have managed to do that yet, as you can see by those numbers.
Yes, I heartily agree with that point that we want, and thank you for the answer. We want to obviously maximise the amount of waste that we're minimising. Also, I'm aware that just for Kingborough, we currently don't have any waste minimisation milestones or targets, and if we do, then we basically need to have a situation report to review against the management, the waste strategy that we got from 2017 or 2018 to actually see how we're going against that. and I'm aware that we're spending $584,000, maybe it's $560,000 per year on disposal fees, basically driving our waste in diesel trucks across all of Greater Hobart to Copping. And we could actually save a whole lot of money by not doing that, by minimising our waste. But the issue becomes when there are companies that are making money off maximising the amount of waste that they take, then you're in a situation where you're never going to reduce waste because there's a financial incentive for people to create more waste. So similarly, for the container deposit scheme, to clear that up, what you don't want is to have, for example, the beverage industry will put on a 10-cent, there'll be a 10-cent deposit and a 5-cent handling fee, and they will make more money if they're running it. They'll make more money by not recycling bottles. They'll get to keep those 15 cents, right? So what you want is to maximise the deposit sites, maximise the convenience for us to deposit them and have a really high rate of bottle return. And my understanding is that's about is the model that we're moving towards, and it is not the worst model, which is where you get the beverage industry. Although even on this council, we've received, you know, lobbying from beverage industry folks trying to get a bad system. I wanted to raise the point that whilst Kingborough itself needs to set waste minimisation milestones and targets and reduce our waste, in terms of this, about 2 years ago, Kingborough voted in support of Legat's unanimous motion to encourage the government to do a statewide phase-out of single-use plastics. And today, on this very day, South Australia has banned single-use plastics. Now is the opportune time when waste is up. When we're talking about waste, this council's talking about waste, the state government is talking about waste, South Australia's phased out single-use plastics, and Victoria has a plan to do the same by 2023. WA is also phasing out these particular items, such as straws and cutlery, between last year and by 2023. Queensland's moving as well. We have this opportunity right here to say something about single-use plastics, and that's the one thing that I see that is not in this proposal here, and so I would like to propose an amendment to add something about single-use plastics. I believe that... So I would like to move the following, that we add, insert... That was a good segue. I just want to point out.
I'm just seeking advice from the GM or from Mr. Reed. So Councillor Cordova wants to add something about single-use plastic. Is that in the scope of the... Is that in scope here, in your view? Mr. Reeve?
Through you, ma'am. Look, probably not. So this is really just about the waste levy and the container refund scheme. I think if you were wanting to actually raise that as an issue, as a separate issue, then it probably should stand alone as a separate issue.
Well, you have to be on topic, and I whilst I understand that it is, well, it is waste. I think we've just heard the advice that this isn't actually in scope for the two. The report is about informing the council on recent announcements by the state government and introduced initiatives on waste management for beverage containers and a waste levy on all waste landfill, and seek endorsement from councils for proposed feedback to LGAT.
I would say that that's our feedback, is that we want... And also, the whole thing about the container deposit scheme is to reduce litter, and all of the litter is coming from these single-use plastics, the vast majority of it. So if we want to reduce litter...
We're now debating without an amendment. General Manager, what's your view? Save me. There are other meetings you could to put the same motion, but General Manager...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I am inclined to err on the side of my colleague. I think it may be out of scope for this particular context, i.e. the report that's before the council. The alternative, if that were the case, would be for Councillor Cordova to bring forward a notice of motion to the next meeting along those lines.
Do you want to continue with your substantive, Councillor Cordova?
Thanks, Mayor. I will just conclude my remarks by saying that, the most important thing with the container refund scheme is to maximise the convenience to the local people in Kingborough and businesses to incentivise the maximum number of bottle returns. And that's what I confidently anticipate will happen. But I think that the council plays a really important advocacy role in keeping the state government on the straight and narrow when it comes to this issue, and so too with the draft waste and resource recovery bill. The enormous opportunity that exists here is to start reframing waste from something that we just accumulate and something that's not our problem because previously it's been going overseas, and to start addressing waste as an opportunity that exists within our municipality to create revenue streams, to create a circular economy, to improve environmental outcomes, and to actually change our lifestyles in such a way that that we help the environment and we help our own health and well-being, not just for the short term, but to act as stewards and custodians, that the benefits and dividends of which will be received by our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren and beyond. So I commend all the efforts and I thank you.
Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be very brief. I support the container refund scheme, although when I first looked at it all those years ago, the New South Wales model, which we're adopting, wasn't, to me, as the best model. The South Australia model had a lot of pluses, less costly, and also allowed the community service groups involvement, which the New South Wales model doesn't. But I believe that we need to be up and running, and I'm happy to support that. In relation to the waste levy, I believe, well, certainly this has occurred because local government has brought it back. A number of years ago, local government was very much opposed to it and didn't want to be brought in by the state government because it saw that funds would go elsewhere rather than where they should go. But for the last probably 8-10 years, local government has fought for this with the idea of bringing the state government on and taking it to where it needs to go. I don't believe that's the end of our focus. I think we need to continue to look at waste and recycling. We have to look at the cost and we have to look at the volume reduction at the source. It's not just a matter of taking all the recycling and us being the jolly good corporate citizens and recycling that material. We need to, wherever possible, be to talk with manufacturers with the idea of reducing all that, if you like, wrapping, rather than send it and expect local government to return it, because there is a cost to us, not the cost to retailers and not the cost to those selling. I am somewhat surprised that the GATT want an annual $10 increase, when I certainly would have thought the $20 per tonne every 2 year increase would have been a better option, and I'm just wondering how and why Legat came up to that reason. If there is a response to that, I'd appreciate that, Mayor.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, I guess it's just more about actually council's finances there and actually having a more of a continual sort of levy as compared to a break and then another levy and trying to manage that. So it's just the ease of actually managing it through our systems there and probably communicating that out as well at the same time there. So that's just a suggested recommendation.
Right. I support the waste levy. I'm just a little bit hesitant with that, and I don't want to see year 7 that we're adding another $10 a tonne and maybe year 8 and 9 doing the same.
For my bit, I'm often critical of LGAT, but and particularly on their advocacy of recent times, but on this one they seem to have got everything they asked for and the sector asked them to ask for, and on that basis I think their advocacy's worked and hopefully can start working a little bit better on some other issues that are very important as well. To sum up, Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to sum up, please.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it is you. Sorry, Councillor Mitchell, yes.
It is me, yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Sorry, it's late.
So I'd like to sum up, I know it's late, councillors, just thanks Councillor Reet for the history and her involvement in this area. Councillor Fox, your questions were really fantastic in regards to sort of questioning the broader possible implications and outcomes of this, and I am quite sure that there's going to be a board that not all the 100% of funds will go towards waste education, but some of the funds will actually go towards a board to oversee the education programs. And I do hope that there can be strong advocacy to ensure that we have some really strong education outcomes in that space. I did agree with Councillor Cordova regarding a point about single-use plastics, because we need some movement in this space that absolutely fits in regards to waste levy and reduction and all the sort of fittings with that, but hopefully we can move on that forward soon enough. And Councillor Wass, in regards to, I think, the point around industry, we can already see there's a great movement. And I think there'll be more movement in industry regarding the use of plastics and wrappings, and there'll be such a big consumer choice and movement as there already is in regards to that matter. So I really hope that LGAT will be continue to be a strong advocate in this area. I really hope they continue to keep councillors and staff very informed, and that there are no surprises in moving forward, which really is an important and much needed for Tasmania.
Okay, the motion was moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Reet, and the motion is as printed in the agenda. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion's carried unanimously. Next item is on page 101. It's the petition on the development of a walking track in Spring Farm and Whitewater Park Estates to connect to Huntingfield. There's a recommendation on page 104. Someone like to move and or second the motion? Councillor Cordova moves, seconded by Councillor Michelli. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Which page are we on?
101.
I'm really pleased to support this motion and to recognise that active transport links in our community are something that's going to improve health and wellbeing. They're also going to make our neighbourhoods and communities nicer places to live. And there's an enormous amount of community support for this, and so I would particularly like to thank the petition developer who's in the audience tonight. And I'd also like to thank Sue Sprott, our recreation officer, and the authoriser, Daniel Smee. What we're looking at, the purpose of this report is to respond to a petition in relation to the development of a walking track in Spring Farm and Whitewater Park Estates to connect Huntingfield with provision of open space, play space in these areas. Essentially, the developer has offered to provide this. 12 months later, we're still waiting. And this was in lieu of public open space funds. So essentially, what this report is saying is that we've received this petition for the provision of open space and play space in these areas. We've got a tracks and trails strategic action plan and public open space strategy which strongly supports connectivity for passive recreation and to improve recreational infrastructure. And that includes cycling and walking track linkages in these popular new residential subdivisions. The more that we improve and increase the network, the potential network of tracks and trails, the better off we'll all be. And also, there's a tremendous opportunity here to link up these large subdivisions all the way through to the Kingston CBD, and it's something that is, I think, in urgent need of our attention. A safe, shared use access path is desirable to connect the Spring Farm and Whitewater Farm estates with the Kingston CBD, Huntingfield and other community facilities, such as the Kingborough Sports Precinct and other local schools. Part of the way that we're going to help encourage young people, particularly to live active and healthy lifestyles, is to make healthy choices easy choices, and the way to do that is to not have people hopping in cars in order to get to the sports precinct, as an example. To be able to walk there in a safe and connected way is much better. I thought I would... is Ms. Sprott here? No. I thought I would ask... I could ask Mr. Smee if there were any particular elements of the report that you would like to bring the Council's attention to.
Through you, Mayor, very briefly, the two biggest hurdles to achieving the desired outcome is one, that Channel Highway and crossing the Channel Highway, and as we flagged in the report, there is some development happening by the state government that may provide a solution to that, but we don't know the detail of that yet. So as indicated in the report, there's some ongoing discussions around that point. And then the second hurdle is, of course, funding, which is, of course, our biggest hurdle in relation to the raft of projects and competing priorities that we have throughout the municipal area.
Thank you. A follow-up question is, what work is being done with the state government to try and find that pot of gold?
Through you, Mayor, so there's work at a couple of levels. Obviously, the state government are submitting development applications for various components of the work in Huntingfield, and where possible, we are seeking to get the best outcomes for the community through that statutory process. But we're also operating outside of the statutory process to advocate and promote the opportunities that may arise through these initiatives that are being progressed. But again, the issue of funding is one that is not unique to council.
Thank you. Another question is just that at 4.1.2 on page 102, it talks about that council is currently preparing concept plans for a 2.5 metre wide shared path that will connect Whitewater Creek track over a new bridge up to the sports precinct. Am I right in thinking that this is part of the offer by the developer? And my question really is about, is the 2.5 metre wide shared path actually ideal? Because at 4.11 it says the provision of a 3 metre wide shared path to circle and traverse the new Huntingfield subdivision, the designs are yet to be submitted. My question is, why the narrower path?
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mayor, they're two separate bits of infrastructure. So the pathway through Spring Farm that will, in essence, follow the riparian reserve of the Whitewater Creek is flagged to be at 3 metres, being the main arterial route through that particular estate. The 2.5 is one that will connect with that path, but go to the west, connecting through to the Kimber Sports Precinct.
Thank you. I'll just conclude my remarks by saying that I think that there's not just an enormous appetite within the community to create these connected networks, but there's actually an element of frustration that there is a common sense around creating interconnected, easy to access, safe, walkable areas. And we've seen all this enormous development take place in Kingborough, and it seems like we're always trying to play catch-up with the amount of walkways and bringing greenery into the centre and connecting our CBD. So I think it's one of those things, it behoves all of us councillors to be aware that whilst it's okay to welcome this enormous amount of development that's taking place, unless we do it in such a way that we're leading with our infrastructure and we're leading with our health and wellbeing policies and health in all spaces and healthy by design policies, unless we're leading with those things, we're going to end up in a situation much like, you know, occasionally you'll see it on Bruni, where there's more tourists than can be accommodated by the infrastructure we've got. Similarly here, there's not the walking infrastructure, not the greenery, not the adequate provision of public open space and connectivity that people want, and so we're always playing catch-up, and that can be a very expensive game to play. That's why I absolutely welcome Councillor Westwood's suggestion about having having developers actually pay more of their fair share when it comes to these, you know, large infrastructure developments, and I absolutely welcome Council paying attention to the enormous community support for these kind of improvements to take place. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley and then Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Thanks to staff for the report, and a big thank you to Mr. Bain, that's how I pronounce his name, in regards to the petition for this. And I guess it's not really on behalf of the hundreds of families that are moving into this part of Kingborough. And it was one of the reasons that I made my choice to stand at council, where I wondered what we are going to do regarding our active transport plans, our connectivities. As you know, I'm a big advocate for cycling, and how we get, you know, I was riding with my kids from the sports centre down to Howden, like the missing links. I could see them loud and clear. And this development with wondering where all the links are, and as many councillors have heard me asking, where is the pathway to the sports centre? And when I recently rode around there with the bicycle committee, I felt embarrassed to see where actually the pathway was to the sports centre. It is in an out of the way place. sorry, it's not at all, it's again our planning scheme and provisions that have allowed this. The links could have been so much better. We've still got the road to nowhere and we've got just all this ad hoc and missing links. And what the petition was about was to have a real strategic look and understanding to put these missing links and have an understanding about that. We're putting money into the city deal. We don't want people to drive to Kingston. We want active transport. We want buses. Well, we need to make sure that we get things right. And I hope in future developments, with hopefully the movement with Councillor Westwood's thoughts around that, that we can get these future developments right, or we are just going to end up with a crazy, congested place to live where no one feels safe to walk and ride around. So I think there's lots of points that I'd like to just ask in regards to the report, noting the pathway. So I think it was 12 months ago that we approved for the developer to build the pathway, and it was against the recommendation of council staff that we didn't contract that ourselves, that the developer did it. I'm just wondering what movement has happened in regards to that. When has the DA been submitted? I think it was about $350,000 that could have been sitting in council bank, but it's been sitting with the developer. It's kind of so many things we can't keep on top of as council. But yeah, what is happening in that space? This is a big part of this petition and report.
Mr. Smeat.
Through you, Mayor, following the decision of council, staff have met with the developer and there's been some subsequent follow-up meetings in relation to the design of the proposed walking trail. The developer was advised probably some 6 months ago now that a development application was required. And that really is the next step in the process. We can't proceed any further until the piece of infrastructure has a planning permit. And really, the decision of council took destiny out of our own hands to a degree, and there's no statutory means of bringing forward the time frame. However, we have had some correspondence recently from the developer that indicates that lodgement of a development application is imminent.
Thank you. That is really good to hear, because I was surprised it was 12 months until I was reminded, actually. So, yeah, it's amazing things come across our desk. Anyway, it's great there's movement in this area. Let's hope there is. And it's a shame that we can't move it on any faster. But I guess just to check in with the DA, council staff will definitely have some discrepancy in understanding what the pathway will be, what it's constructed of, and there won't be any shortfalls and shortcomings in regards to sort of what they put forward, just making sure that we can actually have a really strong say and advocate in that space.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, our input will relate to the compliance of the application to the planning scheme. We've already provided our input in relation to the desired features of the trail, and that's with respect to width and its the type of material it's constructed of. So we've had that input, and we will endeavour to ensure optimal outcomes through the statutory process. But again, obviously, as there's been a fair bit of discussion tonight, that is a statutory process.
Thank you. The pathway, I think it was in 4.12, the pathway is at Carrick. I haven't got my agenda open, sorry, I didn't write it down. The place starting with C, the street name. I understand I asked for that to be in this year's capital works in regards to the pathway and link to the sports centre. So what are we up to in regards to this, the survey work and the civil design aspect of that? And will this be funded to be a really fantastic linkage in the 21-22 budget?
Just for... Okay, so for speakers, I've got Councillor Westwood and then Councillor Fox next. So if you leave your lights off, I've still got you next. Councillor Reeve and then Councillor Cordova will be after Councillor Fox. So Councillor Reeve. Mr. Reeve. You don't want to be demoted like that, mate.
Thank you, Mayor. So that one's currently under design at the moment there, so we've completed the survey of the area there and are currently designing that particular path there. So we haven't got it to the point yet where we'll know the type of costings associated with that particular path. So at this stage there, we don't have an allocation for the next financial year, so it would end up being considered amongst the other priorities for a future financial year until we actually have more detail about that particular path.
Thank you. We are only in February. Hopefully we have some more detail soon. As mentioned before, the safety of crossing near Bunnings there and the development, I guess, of the park and ride, which, again, I hope I'm not going off the report, but it does all link and it is all part of that link. Like, we are, our council staff, advocating the pathways and active transport linkages to the Huntingfield Park and Ride, and how do we expect any kind of movement or works in that area? Because we want people from the Spring Farm Whitewater to walk or cycle their kids down to the bus exchange. That crossing, like, has there been any talk of an overpass or an underpass or anything like that? Because that's a real barrier in regards to that space, or what are we looking at to make sure the linkages are happening to the Huntingfield Park and Ride and to make it safe? Lots of questions in there, sorry. So what are we doing around advocacy to ensure there can be safe crossing on the highway opposite Bunnings there, where you come out around the pathway to then go and link to the Huntingfield Park and Ride?
Okay, Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. So the Huntingfield Park and Ride development application has been lodged, and as part of that process, my understanding is that our planning department has sent out a request for further information in relation to how people can access the park and ride through active transport means. I don't believe that there is scope within that process to require infrastructure such as an overpass or an underpass. It is out of scope for the Huntingfield Park and Ride, but obviously our advocacy on a non-statutory level, that is the ideal, but hugely expensive, and the proposed roundabout on the Channel Highway may provide another opportunity to provide that access across, but again, the detail's just not known at this stage, and that's the reason why we've indicated that a further report be provided in a few months' time once we've the picture's a bit clearer in that regard.
Thank you. And a question in regards to the road to nowhere. I know I've asked about that. So is there going to be any development in regards to where that conceptual road could go? Is there any development around a pathway there for linking to the sports centre? I guess we're waiting. Are we waiting on the road before we even consider some sort of a pathway or linkage up there?
Mr. Reid.
Three, Mayor, yeah, that's correct. So that was integral to the road going ahead. So I guess the design's pretty much advanced to the point of getting it to where we could construct it at some stage there, but the costs are quite large. So I guess we're reliant a little bit on maybe seeking some funding elsewhere or getting that into our future plans there. Once funding allows, I guess.
Thank you. And just a few couple more questions in regards to the matters regarding the playground. So I totally understand that we're having a major regional playground costing millions of dollars. The area that we're talking about in the petition is sort of 2 to 3 kilometres away. And again, sometimes as a parent, it's nice just to not get in your car and walk, and sometimes not everyone has the capability of walking their children in a pram 3 kilometres away. I know mine probably are good going there, but then coming back, I don't know what I'd do, probably catch a taxi or Uber or something back. Well, they may be wet, and who knows if you've got enough nappies and things. So I guess it really is important, you know, raising the petition as well about a local area playground, and I don't see that that is high on our agenda and priorities in regards to our playground review. But have we recently sold the Mount Pleasant land, or is that still for sale, or have we sold that?
Mr. Smee. Through you, Mayor, it's going through the process of sale.
Thank you. So I'm not sure exactly what it's sold for, but are... I'm just sort of writing it down. Sorry, trying to find my notes on that. So I understand the Mount Pleasant land sales was going to the... Willow Bend. Was it just the Willow Bend playground and...
Well, the decision was just to fund Willow Bend, but depending on the sale price, presume given what prices are doing at the moment, we may have some left over, which will go to the Public Open Space Fund, and we can consider... Council can consider what else it would use the money for.
So, thanks, Mayor. So if there is any money left from the Public Open Space Fund, perhaps it could be good to look at, because it is within the area, to look at a design drawing for Spring Farm, I guess, to sit there to perhaps then in the future, so I don't know, a landscape architect design or in-house design or something for a concept plan for a playground, if there is any money left over, I guess that's another motion or something that I'd have to consider later on, but it would be great to see perhaps if there was some money left over from the upgrade of Willow Bend that it could be maybe directed to a design plan for the Spring Farm Whitewater area.
It's probably a budget discussion. If you recall our budget workshop, a lot of the items that were listed in our five-year capital expenditure program were actually to be funded by a Public Open Space Fund. So, but I know there was a lot of playgrounds in there for next financial year. But I'm sure Mr. Reeve or Mr. Smee would be happy to talk us through it during the budget process for this year or inserting it within the five-year capital expenditure plan.
Great, thank you, because I think that there possibly could be some money left over as the land sales are going quite high. So that's all from me for now. I really like point B, that a further report be provided to Council, because I think there is so many things going on in this area and there's so many different developments happening in regards to park and ride and an acquisition of land and the different linkages and things like that. And again, thanks to the organiser of the petition for being a really strong advocate for families in this space, and sorry that we didn't get it right the first time.
So next I have Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. I have a few questions about this one as well. I guess I was a little bit disappointed with the recommendation because it was a significant petition that we received, and it is a very busy part of our municipality with lots of new residents and families, and I particularly don't think the provision of a play space has been given enough thought. In terms of, so the petition was to provide a walking track and then develop and implement open space provision including play spaces and recreation areas along Whitewater Creek through Spring Farm and Whitewater Park Estates. So the first point, I guess for the record, I'm disappointed that it's been 12 months and we don't have anything from the developer yet. I advocated quite strongly for that public-private partnership type arrangement, and at that point in time I was of the view that the developers would be able to get that path done more quickly than council would have. It seems that potentially that was an incorrect assumption, which is disappointing because we had received a letter from the developer stating that they would like to do the path for us. So that is disappointing. I guess just to double check, 4.7 on page 102 says the developer has submitted a concept plan for a 2.5 metre combined compacted gravel and concrete shared path. Council is awaiting the lodgement of a development application for this track before work can commence. Is the hold-up related to the fact that we are asking for a 3-metre path as opposed to a 2.5-metre path? And the hold-up with submitting the development application is that, I guess, can we accept any blame with in relation to our requests and our standards for that path?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. No, we've agreed on a 2.5. Oh. The 3 metre is the desirable, but we accept that the existing Whitewater Creek track is somewhere between 2.2 and 2.6, depending on where you are. And so the other factor that we need to take into account is the cost of developing this. In an ideal world, you'd have a 3-metre wide concrete track the whole way, and we'll get significantly less distance achieved through that fund. So the 2.5, to a degree, is a compromise. Concrete sections in the flood-prone areas, compacted gravel for the remainder. It is consistent with where it will connect with the Whitewater Creek track, that being gravel. And there are many track users that actually prefer compacted gravel. But no, it's not a hold up from a staff perspective in relation to what we require. It's simply the developer hasn't, for whatever reason, got round to lodging the development application.
Okay, thank you for that. That is disappointing. That council approved in good faith that public open space money would be instead accepted as a path instead of that financial contribution, and I certainly will be following that up. I guess the other question I have is just in relation at 4.9, it says, however, there is no provision for off-road connecting shared paths in the approved plans for Whitewater Park Estate with a public open space contribution taken for the retention of natural vegetation instead. What does that mean? Does that mean that we took some land with natural vegetation on it instead of a financial contribution?
It's just me.
Through you, Mayor, what that's saying is that when we took the public open space associated with the Whitewater Park development, we have prioritised public open space that protects natural values above other potential uses for the public open space. So we could have taken a linear strip, for example, that would have enabled us to achieve a trail such as we have through Spring Farm, but the natural values of the vegetation within Whitewater Estate were such that that's what the public open space contribution has gone towards, retaining those natural values, unfortunately at the expense of recreational values.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. At 4.13, so understand from our budget workshop that we have got a Capital Works bid for funding to conduct a feasibility study to connect Huntingfield through to Margate. It mentions here there's currently no provision of funds by either the state government or council for an overpass or underpass to get from Huntingfield across the Channel Highway to connect with the Whitewater Creek track that provides access into the Kingston CBD. Could we potentially think about funding a feasibility study for that project so that we have something ready to potentially ask for funding if grant opportunities or funding from the state government come up?
Through me, I guess they're two slightly different things there. So there's one that's been on the cards for quite a while there, which is this Margate to Huntingfield, it's actually Margate to Kingston pathway there, which is a high priority listed by the Bike Advisory Committee and others as well at the same time. The second one is actually to do with more of a localised type linkage near Bunnings there, which is across a state highway. So it may be less of a feasibility for us or design for us more and more for state government to actually investigate perhaps. As Mr. Smee mentioned, anything to do with overpass and underpasses tend to be quite expensive. So it's going to be a difficult option to pursue, I guess. But certainly that's where it would fit if we were going to actually try and advocate.
Okay, thank you. I guess on the kind of same, in the same vein at 4.15, in relation to the playground or the play space in Spring Farm, is it possible for council to put together some kind of some funding for a plan to be developed so that we have something that's shovel ready that we can advocate potentially to the state government for, or funding through some kind of grant. So if council paid for the design and concept, and then potentially we could use that as the shovel ready project to ask for funding.
Is this the underpass, overpass?
No, sorry, I'm talking about the play space.
Ah, the play space. Well, we could. You think that's the answer?
Okay.
But, yeah. Well, is there any further? Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. I guess we'd need some direction from council in order to lift that as a priority. We have a playground strategy, and our playgrounds are much like our public toilets in that we have a large number throughout the municipal area of existing facilities that are substandard, and that's within the context of running a deficit budget in which the pressure is on to prioritise asset replacement over new assets. So within, I guess within that framework, if there's a desire from council to see this particular playground given a level of priority, we'd need some kind of mandate at a staff level to do that, because as indicated, our strategic framework that's set through the playground strategy currently has this as a lower priority, given the reasons I've already mentioned.
And is that mainly because of the proximity to our new playground, 3 kilometres?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, it's partly that, but it's also partly an acknowledgement that, you know, we have a huge number of playgrounds that are existing that are rated as substandard, and they have been given a level of priority in terms of addressing them before we start developing new.
Could we possibly allocate some of the surplus funds, if there are any, from the sale of the Mount Pleasant site to a feasibility study or a design and concept that we could have on a nice piece of paper to apply for grant funding for? And how much would that be?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, we could potentially do that in-house through our urban designer, bearing in mind he does have a lot on his plate, to prepare a design plan for a playground from a consultant. I mean, I guess we're looking somewhere of the order of $15,000-$20,000 perhaps.
Could I move an amendment then that we add a D and say any surplus funds from the sale of Council's Mount Pleasant land left over from, which was the playground?
I'll just raise this similar point to the one I made with Councillor Cordova. You're now looking at an amendment which would lock us into a budget from a completely different project, proceeds from a different project into this. You can do this on any night of any count. You can do a notice of motion. We can do it through the budget, but it doesn't have to be through tonight, and I'm not sure it's really the right place.
Yep.
Councillor Cordova, for the record, has already submitted his notice of motion about single-use plastics for two weeks.
Okay, thank you. I'll take that on board. Yes, I think that's reasonable. I think I had one other thing. Sorry. It was just about the playground strategy and why new facilities in Spring Farm and Whitewater Estate are considered a lower priority given the number of families and children in that area. But I think Mr. Smee has probably answered that for me. Thank you.
My list, I have Councillor Fox next, and then Councillor Cordova, and then Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. I think, firstly, I'd like to really thank Mr. Bain for putting this to us, and I remember speaking to him when he first was considering doing the petition and said, well, we've got all this organised. We're doing everything, but it's really great to get your petition. But it really helps clarify the complexity of this whole situation, as well as the community desire for all these linkages. And I do feel very disappointed that we've got a recreational strategy which identifies that this is a critical link between Howden, Blackmans Bay, Kingston, Margate, and the development application has missed out on providing that critical link. And if it had been there, the developer would have had to pay for this road to go up to the sports centre, or to link at least to the sports centre and to our high school, our state high school, which happens to be right next to the sports centre. People from all over Kingston, Blackmans Bay, they want to walk to school. We want kids out of their cars, walking and riding their bikes to school, and this would have been just perfect. But it's a very complex history. I feel in many ways we've struck a lot of resistance from the developer to provide these links, and even though we've got an agreement now that they provide them, I don't know if they're going to be at the same standard and at the critical timing that the community expects. But I guess we're moving in the right direction, and it's good to have everything laid out on the table, and the amount of questions we've had and the amount of answers have really clarified how complex this is and how important it is, and also that we are getting there, but it all takes time. Nothing ever moves quickly in local government. And I think some of the new councillors probably don't realise how long some of these things take, and it can be decades. But I appreciate the work that's gone into this report and the efforts that have gone into trying to resolve these issues. And it is disappointing that all we get is a promise of another report. But I think clarifying the complexity and the issues involved is also very important. So thank you, everybody who's been involved, and all the speakers. Thank you.
Councillor Cordova with a question.
Thank you. My question is about DDA compliance issues, like is in the design of any of the these tracks, are any of them like accessible?
It's just me.
No, through you, Mayor, they're compliant with the standard and the rating of the track, so they won't necessarily meet Disability Discrimination Act compliance of 1 in 14, but it depends where they are and what the track is rated, and that is dependent on the environment in which they're in, the terrain, etc., etc. So you'd be familiar with the Alum Cliffs track. Obviously, you cannot take a wheelchair on the Alum Cliffs track, and that's because of its rating.
Thanks. And so my question, I think, is are these rated like the Alum Cliffs track, or are they rated like not?
Mr. Smith.
Through you, Mayor, it would be a higher standard of rating than Alum Cliffs track. However, once you start to head up into the precinct, you are starting to get into some steeper terrain, and yes, it's not possible to achieve that 1 in 14 gradient that the DDA prescribes, but it is possible to meet those lower standards of track rating.
Okay, Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, this has been a long debate, so I'll keep my contribution relatively short, but I feel compelled to speak as I think the only councillor that actually lives in Spring Farm Estate, so I'm doing a Councillor Grace. I'm the councillor for Spring Farm Estate, or I think might start calling myself the councillor for Western Kingston, actually. I thought that sounded nicer. And I can echo, as somebody who has been using the tracks and trails in the area with my partner for a while now, I can certainly see that we're not going to, as we head up towards Spring Farm, we are not getting 1 in 14, let me tell you. It's hard work getting up that hill, but the standard of the track is still very good up to that point. And look, you look at this map, there are obvious problems here. I mean, I see tracks on here that I have tried to use and they are not usable. That's just the reality. of the situation that we have at the moment. Some of them simply aren't in the state where you would want to be going down them. And obviously, we are in desperate need of that link through Spring Farm Estate, and I certainly hope that the conversations that we've had tonight are being relayed to the developer of Spring Farm Estate, who many of us placed a whole lot of trust in, and nothing has thus far come to fruition. So I hope that's being noted by the developer, and if it's not, then I hope it will be made known to them, the displeasure amongst councillors here this evening. I want to thank the petitioner, David Bain, for organising the petition. I think he is absolutely right, and our petitioners are absolutely right, to want more done in the area. And hopefully now that we, or hopefully if we move forward this evening with a position, which I'm sure we will, we can start trying to bring some of those plans to fruition, and certainly trying to get the required funding, whether that's through our own purse or whether it's through state and federal funding. We do that. As we've seen over the last 12 months, our tracks and trails have become something that have been rediscovered by our local communities and used a great deal, and I certainly know that that's true in my case as well. So the more that we can do to improve the quality of those and improve those links so that people can walk to where they want to go, the better.
Councillor Midgley, the question.
Thank you. Just one more quick question. When I rode around with the KBAC, I noticed on the map, and you can't see the detail on this map, but there's a spot where there's Taswater land that's quite close to that really long fence that goes along the bypass. I think it's Taswater and a bit of open space. And I look at that and think, wouldn't it be great if there could be a gate there, at least for those parts of Spring Farm properties, to be able to cut through? If there was a gate, they could just get onto the track next to the bypass, and that would be better than them actually then having to go all the way around and over the bridge and all that kind of a thing. Could we at all look into that? Perhaps maybe I should go and have a look myself, but would any council staff know if that is possible or where that location is, or could it be just followed up if that's okay?
Mrs. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I don't think it's that simple. I think there's more than just Taswater land involved, but happy to have a look at it.
For my brief contribution, 2 points I wanted to raise. Developer contributions would happen with these developments in any other state or territory where the developer would have to pay for more of this infrastructure. The only contribution, or the predominant, is the public open space one, which we've discussed was quite small and is being maybe potentially going into a small walking track. But we should have been able to extract a greater amount of money from both developments for public use. Well, the simple truth of both Whitewater and Spring Farm is that it has left council with a large amount, or with a legacy problem with projects that are much needed, as we've heard, without the cash to do it. The cash is not being generated by the new ratepayers to actually do this, so it falls on the entire Kingman municipality to try and fund them. And fund them we should, because they are important projects. But that's the second point I want to make, is that we have to be strategic. Even though I would love to commit tonight to a new playground and to that walking track, they are just two of many, many, many projects that I would love to do. The playground strategy highlights what an absolute mess our playgrounds are in. We have existing playgrounds which most of them don't meet the requirements, our community requirements. So I don't think we should be rushing into committing to building new ones, even though I would love to, I'd love to build it. We have to make it, make decisions based on the needs of the entire community at budget time, and that's the right time to make decisions about new playgrounds. The pathway track itself and the underpass overpass are really important projects as well, and they will depend predominantly on our relationship, I think, with the state government, which at the moment seems pretty good, and we are making some progress on some important projects, including other links like the Margate to Kingston shared path, and all of that makes sense. The beauty of this petition is that it has highlighted a real need, and we have been talking about this now for almost 4 or 5 months, and
We are well aware of the issues and that the advocacy of Mr. Bain and the other petitioners does help a lot, and I hope that we are able to fund it, as I said, in line with our all our competing projects, but I hope and I think we'll be able to make some progress on it in the next couple of years. We just need to figure out the best way to do it, and I hope that's what we'll see in the next report. Councillor Court, over to sum up.
Thank you, Mayor. There are 546 people in Kingborough who want a walking track along Whitewater Creek through to Spring Farm and Whitewater Park Estates. They want play spaces in recreation areas along Whitewater Creek through Spring Farm and Whitewater Park Estates. There is a general acknowledgement around this table tonight that developer contributions are essential and currently inadequate. And whilst we're not making any kind of commitment, I guess, to fix or to create a playground, what we should be doing tacitly is making a commitment to make developers pay their fair share. I also acknowledge the point, and I want to raise the point about this notion of a public-private partnership relies on a significant amount of trust, and perhaps on this occasion the trust was not warranted, and I support Councillor Street's encouragement to pass that message of disappointment along to the developer, because really we shouldn't have to trust in the good faith of public-private partnerships to achieve this. There should be some regulation that says when a developer makes a lot of money off rising property prices, they also contribute their fair share to the infrastructure and the requirements of a growing municipality. As it stands, we will fund it. It will be funded by people in Allens Rivulet, on Bruni, in Middleton, in Snug, in Kettering, in Taroona. We will end up paying the developer, who has done very nicely, may not pay to the extent that would be fair. I take the point from Councillor Westwood that we should have shovel-ready feasibility studies in place on the shelf ready to go when state government or federal government money is made available. But again, this notion of funding is a vexed one. If I had my druthers, perhaps I would raid the turf budget and put a lot of money into... No, I would never raid the turf budget. Although turf is... Let's not talk about turf. That is not germane to this conversation. And, of course, our urban designer, who does terrific work, but, of course, is very busy, I would hope, working on a street tree strategy. And so, of course, we can't redeploy our urban designer to these efforts necessarily. But all in all, I just particularly want to thank the David Bain and the 546 people who lent their voice to this petition. Council is listening, and more work is to be done. Thank you.
Okay, motion moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Midgley, is as printed in the agenda this evening. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion carried unanimously. Okay, we are now 9:15. We are not going to get... We still have a fair bit to go. We have 1, 2... Do we want a break? Okay. All right. Next one is page 106, petition to repair or replace collapsed road surface in Village Drive at Kingston. 107 will find you a recommendation from Mr. Reeve. What do we think? Who's going to move it? Moved by Councillor Loss, seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Loss.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one question, and is this the crazed and collapsed piece of road that they sought repair some 15 plus years ago?
Mr. Reeve?
Through Mayor, I'm not sure whether they sought repair 15 years, probably before my time, but I do know that it has been in that condition for a little while, I guess, if you like, stable in that condition for a little while and usable in that condition for a little while, and I guess we've sort of tried documenting the report there where the respective lives are of the two different segments of asphalt and concrete there, so to give you a bit of an idea of where it sits in our asset management cycle.
The reason I asked that, Mayor, is that Council of the day told them that Council would not be spending money on private roads and that wouldn't have to be funded by themselves. And I'm just wondering whether that is the piece that we're totally looking at it in a different object now.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. So Redwood Village is, I guess, split into a bit of public road, which is the bit that we're actually referring to here, which is around about the first 100-odd metres or so, and then it turns into private after that. So we are responsible for that section of road that's actually referred to in this report. So it's not a private section of road, it's council-owned.
Can I just add, Mayor, and then it'll be the last time I speak on this topic. Council was not aware and was not made aware, despite its requests of the day, as to what the surface was, what compacting, what materials were used, and because it was done separately, council had nothing to do with it into the future, and the residents of the day were told that. So I'd be interested, when it comes to budget, to find out more and more and more on this particular item.
Councillor Fox.
I just want to confirm that that has been my understanding since Redwood Village was built, when I was on council. And there was a regular group of petitioners who would come to council and ask for the road to be taken over, and council regularly made decisions to say no, they would not take it over. It was not their road from Redwood Road inwards into the development. So I'd really like to see the actual written history of how that has come to pass in spite of council's decisions.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Look, I'm not sure what the written history is there, but certainly from a legal perspective there, it's council road for the first 83 metres. And then it turns into private land from there. So I assume that came up as part of the original development of that whole area. So there may have been some misunderstanding in the past there as to who owned and who maintained what, but that's certainly what the actual case is. So I guess in terms of the decision from council here, it's more along the lines of as to whether they wish to actually fund these works or fund them at a later stage.
Councillor Street.
A question, Mayor. Are we absolutely sure that our petitioners were intending to give us a petition in relation to the first 83 metres of the road, and that they understand that we are not responsible for the remainder of the roadways inside Redwood Village?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. I believe that's the case there. Certainly, Council's road engineer has had some discussions with some of the residents down through there. So I believe they do recognise the fact that part of it's actually in private ownership and part of it's actually in council ownership. So certainly, as I said, from our perspective there, the only bit that we would be looking at would be that first section, and that first section does meet with the description that they're actually raising in this report as well at the same time.
My only contribution, Mayor, would just be that in our communications around the decision that we make this evening, I would like to make sure that it's abundantly clear that that's all we are committing to looking at.
Okay. No other lights are on. So, Councillor Wass, would you like to sum up? Close the debate. Motion moved by Councillor Wass, seconded by Councillor Fox, is that Council consider the adoption of the project in a 21-22 capital works program as part of the overall budget deliberations. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Next, we have the proposed street names, Kingston Park. Let's not have a long debate about it. I probably shouldn't say that, but Councillor Fox moves, seconded by Councillor Bastone. Councillor Fox.
I think it's a great improvement on the previous names that were submitted, and I recommend the motion. Thank you.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, that's the end of the debate, is it?
Yes.
Good one. Okay, the motion is as printed, and it was moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Bastone. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Aye. We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Street, Bastone, Reet, Westwood, Fox, Midgley, Wasson, Winter, and those against, Councillor Cordova. Motion is carried. Move on to whatever's next, which is...
Page 111, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Before we go through this long bit, thanks to everyone on Facebook for joining us this evening. We've enjoyed having you with us, and well done if you got through it all. So the next motion is that in accordance with Regulation 15 of Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session and consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, application for leave of absence, tender assessment, AB 2102 Groombridges Road, tender assessment AB 2103 Kingston Beach Sailing Club, tender assessment AB 2104 Alana Footpath Construction, and the GM's Performance Review. Mover and a seconder, please. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reet. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion's carried unanimously. Good night, Facebook.